This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
As far as Adams, I mean, look, now he's in a situation where he can do whatever he wants to do. I think that the Patriots, they have some interest in him, but where does he fall in the pecking order for them? You know, I'm not really sure. I mean, I know it's as far as guys that they know to be available, it's definitely T. Higgins number one. It's definitely Chris Godwin number two. And then it gets sort of murky after that. Yeah. But you also have to keep in mind that what does Davante Adams want? Now, I will say, I think this stuff about McDaniels and Davante Adams, it's completely overblown. They had a very good relationship in Vegas. You can say whatever you want about his reaction about X, Y, and Z. First of all, Josh was the head coach at the time. Second of all, a lot of Davante Adams' frustrations there had to do with the quarterback position. Yes, including Derek Carr.
That was Greg Bedard with a cameo from our pal Nick Cattles. Discussing the Davante Adams sweepstakes in free agency. He continues to just hammer home, Keith, and I wonder where he's getting it from. That Josh McDaniels and Davante Adams, they're fine. I don't know what all this is about. People think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal.
It's all good.
And I would, if I had to guess which side of the friction point that's coming from, I think I have a good guess.
All right, move on. Nothing to see here.
So it's high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Every Thursday, Keefe, we like to put something on the clock. We'll give you a 60-second, take, plan, what have you, for what's going on each and every week. Today we're going to focus on Patriots free agency. Yahoo dubbed the Patriots the most interesting team in free agency. So we figured it's a good day, too, with the legal tampering beginning on Monday, free agency officially starting on Wednesday. We figured it's a good time to get in our final plans, our final submissions for the Patriots in 60 seconds.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Basically proving that we can solve the Patriots' issues in just a minute's time. Okay. All you need is lend us your ear for 60 seconds, and we can fill out the Patriots ready to go. Vrabel wanted them to be able to play a game before the draft. After this plan, I think we're going to be good to go.
Oh, I mean, after this plan, you might be in the Super Bowl based on my plan. So you can follow along. You can, let us know who you think has the better plan. You can also weigh in with your own plans. We're not giving you 60 seconds, okay? I mean, please.
Well, let's not get crazy.
I get 60. Keith gets 60. We'll give you guys 30 seconds on the clock if you want to at 617-779-7937. Keith, I believe you went first last time. It's kind of a home away thing. You kind of want last ups in this one.
That's true.
As we've come to find out. So I think I'm first batter up here. If you want to put me on the clock for 60 seconds, Nick, I'll give you my plan. Okay, I'll start with the wide receivers. I am trading a second rounder, number 38 overall to Seattle for DK Metcalf. I'm giving them the extension he wants. He wants $30 million a year. Good, you can have it in the final year of your rookie extension. I'm also signing Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp. When he's released, your wide receiver room now fixed. On the O-line, I'm signing Ravens left tackle Ronnie Stanley. Reese says 4 years, $100 million, 65 guaranteed. Give it to him. I'm signing Jaguars guard Brandon Scherff, former top five pick, along with Andrews and Mike Onwenu, maybe a rookie right tackle. Your O-line now fixed. running back. I want them to draft one, but either way, the room needs help. I'm signing Cowboys running back Rico Dowdle. He's 27,000 yards last year and 39 catches. For defense, I like the D-line, but the back seven needs help. I'm signing Jets corner DJ Reed, shutdown pair with Christian Gonzalez. I'm also signing Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton or Jets linebacker Jamien Sherwood, who Vrabel likes. I'm signing Niners safety Talanoa Hufanga, so grab him too. Vrabel now has key personnel on defense. The defense is fixed. It's a Super Bowl team. That's a Super Bowl team is what that is.
Wow, Jones. Pretty good. We got some overlap, but I mean, I'm not going to tell you everything. But
maybe,
yeah,
maybe a little strong on Super Bowl, but, you know, playoff team.
Why not?
Nine
Sky's
wins.
Sky's the limit.
I've gone from Super Bowl to playoff team to nine wins is what I would amend that to. It got away from me. You want to put Keefe on the clock? He's got 60 seconds here in the Dragon's Lair.
All right, here we go. First of all, Robert Kraft, you're not going to love this, but here's the plan. I'm going to give all the money in the world to Ronnie Stanley. You got to convince him to leave Baltimore, anchor your offensive line for the next few years. There's your left tackle. He's going to be your Hoss of the Week every single week during the football season. I'm also, new plan today, I'm going to sign Joey Bosa. I'm going to get aggressive. He's just got released by the Chargers. I'm going after Joey Bosa. Mike Vrabel was in Ohio State when Joey Bosa was there. Some little connection as well. Like Jones, I'm going to wait for Cooper Kupp to get released. Then I'm going to pounce on Cooper Kupp. I'm also going to sign Davante Adams. So I have Adams and Kupp as my wide receivers right now. Do they need a running back? Yeah, they do. Najee Harris, four straight 1,000-yard years, is available out of Pittsburgh. I'm going to sign Najee Harris as well. And I'm just spending money left and right. The last guy I'm going to get, Asante Samuel Jr. His dad might be the only guy who hates Bill Belichick more than Robert Kraft, so I'm bringing in Asante Samuel Jr. to play in my secondary as well. Super Bowl back on.
Okay, I like it. We both got him in the Super Bowl. Just listen to us. You're back in the Super Bowl. Easy.
All you got to do is sign those guys. It's just money. It's just money. You have it. Yeah. I got some older dudes in there, but that's okay.
Okay, well, already, the text line, Jones, you just spent $250 million. Yeah, well, yeah, they did that in 2021. They've done it before. They have the money. So, what are you talking about? Of course I spent. Thank you. Of course I spent $250 million. So I have DK and Cooper Kupp in the receiver room. Keith, you have Davante and Cooper Kupp in the receiver room. We both have Ronnie Stanley at left tackle. I also signed Brandon Scherff, who's...
That's good.
He's a veteran. I don't think he's going to be super expensive. I take the flyer there. When it comes to running back, you went Najee Harris. I went Rico Dowdle. Najee's going to be a little more expensive, but again, they have tons of money. Running backs aren't all that pricey. I went more back seven. You went on the D-line. Joey Bosa, I'm happy you brought that name up.
Yeah.
Florio wrote today, because I kind of assumed last night, based on some of the reporting, he's like a done deal going to the Niners to play with his brother. That was kind of the initial reporting. Florio thinks he's going to have a real strong market. He called it a quote-unquote free agency frenzy for Joey Bosa. It's a frenzy.
He's coming off a down year, but I still feel like he could be a wrecker.
So he was a Pro Bowler last year, but I agree. Down year, it makes sense you want him, Keith. His last good year was 2021.
I'm trying to get the 2021 All-Pro team if I could.
So he's played 28 combined games the last 3 years, but 14 of them, half, were last year. So he played 14 games a year ago. He made the Pro Bowl. Here are how many sacks he's had. 2022, the last 3 years. 2.5 in 2022, only 5 games. 6.5 in 2023, 9 games. And then 5 last year in 14 games.
Sorry.
He is how old? He is, he'll be 30 in July.
All right, happy early birthday to Joey Bosa. So it might not be, looking at my list, Ronnie Stanley's the one guy that would be a ton of money.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if, Bosa's
maybe
a ton.
Maybe Adams,
Harris
maybe
is
Bosa.
A running back. Yeah. Yeah, Davante Adams would be a lot of money, but it would also be for 2 years. It wouldn't be much longer than that. Cooper Kupp would be shorter money.
Mm-hmm.
It's short money, and it's a big boost, but I don't think you're going to have to go really long-term with these guys. Like, your plan has DK Metcalf, which would be one of those, like, big long-term contracts.
Yeah, yeah,
my guys are more kind of like shock the system right now for 2 year deals.
No. That's and look, I think either way, I'd feel much better about the roster if they did either of those plans. Which plan did you prefer? You can vote 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line.
So two questions.
You also can have a 30-second plan. We'll put you on the clock. Same phone number, and you can weigh in with your own insight for the Patriots plan. All of you out there listening. What were your two questions?
So my two questions you can also answer. If you have a 30-second plan, great. If you don't, you can say, do you like Jones's plan better than my plan? Or, follow-up, do they sign any of those guys?
Well, that's a great question.
Could they go 0 for that list? I feel like there's also a chance.
Okay,
of that.
I do think, though, Keith, I don't think they're signing Asante Samuel. I love that one.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're signing him. Ready? Who do you think is the most likely out of our two lists, the most likely name they sign?
Good question.
I think
Ronnie Stanley?
That's what I think. It's the one we both had. I think Ronnie Stanley, and he's going to cost the most, at least, you know, barring an extension for DK Metcalf, he's going to cost you the most. I think that's the most likely one they sign. Out of all the names we just mentioned, that's the most likely one they get, I think.
It probably is. It doesn't mean it's likely. It just means it's the most likely, and it's for two reasons. One, he is it's such a glaring need, and he's also the clear-cut guy at that spot. We can all argue over receivers. You, me, people calling in, we can argue over which receiver you want and to prioritize. Even some of the defensive linemen or secondary guys or running backs, there's like an actual debate with all those positions. We haven't heard, and I haven't heard, a single, yeah, Ronnie Stanley's good, but so-and-so, that get that guy. It's like, No. If you can get Ronnie Stanley, you pay more for him. So, yeah, that'd be the guy that they should be the most aggressive after. Well, TBD on that.
And it sounds more likely that he's going to get to market. I said this before. If he gets out of Baltimore, I think he's going to be a Patriot. I know people are saying the Chiefs have started maneuvering. I think this was Giardi the other day. The Chiefs have started maneuvering to get Ronnie Stanley. He's their plan A. It's part of why they moved Joe Tooney. I think if he makes it to market, he's going to be a Patriot. That would be my prediction there. Speaking of Tooney, real quick, you see Burt Breer said this last night. The Patriots did call about Joe Tooney, but they thought it was too high of an asking price. Now, I don't know if that's his contract. I don't know if that's for the fourth-round pick that the Bears gave up, maybe the combination. I'm not surprised they called. I'm disappointed that they would call and feel like that's too much of an – you have all the cap space in the world, so who cares about the contract? And a fourth round pick is nothing.
But depending on what they do in the rest of free agency, I would be mad if two of their highest-paid players were guards once again. And if Onwenu's a guard and you bring in Tooney, who I don't want playing tackle, I'd be like, there's better money spent elsewhere.
It's a good point. Where should they spend their money? At tackle or guard? That's a fair point.
Tackle, wide out, pass rush.
Right. Like, Tooney's a good player, and I want good players, and I want them to spend, but I want them to spend at key spots. So, fair.
That's why, you know, it's interesting where he went. You know, the Bears and Ben Johnson trying to beef up his offensive line. Because one of the reasons why the Lions had so much success was their offensive line was incredible. But we also saw as the playoffs played out last year, like, Tooney is a great, great guard. But you kind of need to leave him at a guard.
Okay, a couple of things. Feedback here. 617-779-7937. Keith,
positive.
Najee Harris sucks is what that says with, like, a lot of yous.
Man, I didn't take that into account.
I would have done that if I were you. I like Najee Harris.
Najee Harris sucks. Dang.
I like him. And I think the Patriots are going to be in the running back market, whether it's the draft or free agency. They're going to be in the running back market. I happen to like Rico Dowdle. You know, I think he's a little more versatile.
He's solid.
I think he's a little more versatile than Harris, but Harris might be a better fit if you're going to pair him with Stevenson.
Do you know how – here's a trivia question for you. How many catches did Najee Harris have as a rookie?
Well, okay, so again, let me get in the mind of Keith. So what year was that, 2020?
2021. 2021. It's a great year. Cooper Kupp was setting records. I love 2021
Keith
players.
Somehow stuck in 2021 with every player.
It was a
we
good year.
About.
COVID was over.
Okay,
there was no more COVID.
How many catches did Najee Harris have in 2021? 60.
Yeah. 74.
Okay, that's good. What do you have last year, just out of curiosity?
36.
Okay, so then never mind. I said more versatile in terms of Rico Dowdle. They basically had the same amount of catches, 39 to 36 last year.
I just think,
well,
again,
they took him off the field because Jalen Warren's
Yeah, Jalen Warren's usually
receiver.
Their pass-catching guy, yeah.
Yeah, so, but he can do it. Unless you trade Ramondre Stevenson, which I know Kern has advocated for, you and I are like, I don't know, like if you're not getting much for him, I would just keep him. But I think Stevenson and Harris would be a pretty good combo. I'd be good with that.
Also, people saying, I don't see the difference between Najee and Ramondre. The idea would be you have two of them. The idea would be you have you have more than one. I thought in my mind anyway there's more overlap, but maybe Najee Harris is a little more versatile than I gave him credit for.
Thank you.
I like this plan, 617-779-7937. I like both of your plans and free agency, or for free agency, rather. You fixed a lot of weak points. Well, thank you.
Thank you. You know what's crazy?
If those plans come to fruition, I would drop down in the draft and go get Tyler Warren. Ooh, that I like a lot.
You like Tyler Warren.
The idea of dropping down in the draft, I'm also a fan of, and this is what Vrabel said. Sign guys in free agency, let the draft come to you. What were you going to say there, Keith?
I was going to say how consistent Najee Harris has been.
Yep.
He's like Chris Davis. Remember Chris Davis who hit 247 for three straight years?
Yeah.
So he's played in 17 games every year, all 4 years.
Yep.
He had 1,200 yards rushing his rookie year. Then he was 1,034, 1,035, 1,043.
Wow.
The last 3 years have been separated by less than 10 yards total.
So pencil that in.
He's going to run for 1,000 yards.
1,030-something is what he's going to run for. So you can jump in with all your plans, 617-779-7937. The Patriots, as Keith has been saying, is they're the Dos Equis guy of free agency. Yahoo dubbed the Patriots the most interesting team in free agency. The Patriots lead the NFL in two categories, most cap space and most roster holes to fill. New England probably needs to sign multiple receivers and multiple offensive linemen. Good thing we have our plans where we did both of those things.
Our plans were great. Go ahead. Keep going.
And then they have the cap space to do it. New England has the ability to sign anyone it wants. I agree with all those things. The needs, the demand, the money. I don't know that I fully trust they're going to do it, but if they follow our lead, Keith, they're going to be a better team.
All right, so we both agree that out of all the guys we named, Ronnie Stanley, even though not a guarantee, is the most likely on the list. Mm-hmm. Flip the question, which guy between the two plans is the most like pie in the sky unlikely?
Probably Metcalf, and I've been beating the drum for Metcalf for a while, but just based on the Herald and Phil Perry, some of their combine buzz, they don't seem to view Metcalf as a system fit.
Yeah,
which means McDaniels doesn't like him, which is another reason why I don't want McDaniels here. If you can't figure out how to work with DK Metcalf, that's kind of a you problem. But I would say he's probably the least likely. What would you say?
I think Metcalf is probably a good one. Maybe Joey Bosa if he prices himself out. I kind of like that idea, but maybe they go somewhere else.
Okay, well, let's go to the phones. We got 30-second plans for our listeners out there. Keith and I both gave you 60-second free agency plans. You can jump in at 617-779-7937 with your own 30-second plan for the Patriots and free agency. We'll put you on the clock. Chuck in New Hampshire, you're up. 30 seconds.
All right. To appease Jones first, we're going to hire Nitro as the new strength and conditioning coach. We're going to have 311 do the anthem opening day. Now, we trade a second pick for DK Metcalf. We get Milton Williams to shore up the front on the defensive line, have a game wrecker there. Ronnie Stanley, if you can't get him, go to the draft for tackle. Get Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bolton, get linebackers, DJ Reed, Javon Holland. Now you have playmakers at every side, every level on the defense, and you have a tackle, hopefully.
Excellent plan. Hot start. No, finish.
That's how you make a plan right there, Chuck in New Hampshire. Now I'll recognize Chuck in New Hampshire on the text line. I now know that's Chuck in New Hampshire texting.
311 doing the anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Jones was sold.
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't need to say another thing.
And Nitro?
Nitro in the strength guy?
What a plan.
Get Gerard Mayo's brother out of there, bring in all the old gladiators.
Who's arguing with that?
I don't think anybody.
What a plan.
Strongest team in the league.
He mentioned DK Metcalf for pick 38. The odds are out on Metcalf for where he's going to play next year, not even with a trade. So Seattle return is in the mix, Keith. There are co-favorites to where DK Metcalf will be playing next year, according to this is DraftKings. Chargers and Seahawks are co-favorites at plus 300.
Not Raiders. I'm surprised Raiders.
Not Raiders. You know who's next?
Pats.
At plus 350.
So this is tough about these things because sometimes these are really right. These like future team odds. I remember famously kind of keeping track of like the Kawhi Leonard one.
Yep.
And like 2 days before he went to Toronto, it like shot to the top of the list. So like they did hear something. But like the early ones sometimes.
Just matching a need to a name.
They're matching need and also like cap space and sort of like the Patriots are going to be. I feel like the Pats are probably going to be top five on most of these guys.
They were lower on Davante Adams. They're right. Another way to say this: if he changes teams, it's the Chargers at plus 300 and the Pats at plus 350. Like they're right.
Okay.
They're right there neck and neck. They are ahead of the Texans plus 550, the Raiders plus 700, and the Steelers and Broncos both at 12-1.
Because I saw like a couple running backs, they had the same odds. My guy Najee Harris, also Aaron Jones, who I would be happy with too, but he might cost a little bit more. But the Pats were like fourth for both of those guys, which is I think a lot to do with how much money they have.
Interesting. So those are the odds on Metcalf. Your girl Diana Russini said they want a 1 and a 3. My girl Josina Anderson said teams are already offering third round picks for DK Metcalf. So split the difference. I'd say a second rounder sounds about right. Patriots have 38. I would make the move. More 30-second plans here. We'll put you on the clock. Dial us up, 617-779-7937. What do you want the Patriots to do in free agency? Let's Nick, let's put Chris in Texas on the clock. 30 seconds, Chris. Let's go.
All right, so Ronnie Stanley, Monday morning, will be a Patriot. Chris Godwin already knows the Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels offense, signing him. Milton Williams on the defensive line. Charvarius Ward to be opposite of Gonzo, big time. And that allows the Patriots in the draft to focus on running back, tight end, and edge, the three strongest positions in the draft.
How about that? With room to spare.
Nice, tidy 30-second plan. Now, he did tick through, if I'm not mistaken, the four names the Herald highlighted. And whatever, I'm not saying he took them or anything, but just that that coincides with the Herald saying Ronnie Stanley, Milton Williams, Charvarius Ward, and Godwin. Those were the four that the Herald had. So, interesting. We've now had both callers mention Milton Williams. I'm not as gung-ho about that one, Keith. But, you know, when we were going through the exercise yesterday, the Dan Graziano exercise or whatever it was, where all the various beat writers submitted their contracts, that was one that Reese thought they'd be in on. They didn't win the bid, but that was one Reese thought they'd be in on, Milton Williams.
Our guy from WIP yesterday loved him and thought he'd be a great fit.
He did.
He did love him a lot. I still wonder if there's a trade for Jeffrey Simmons, if that's still a possibility.
Don't you kind of think, I know you had them signing Bosa, but don't you kind of think their D-line is fine right now? Now, maybe Vrabel doesn't. Vrabel might trade Godchow. Curran mentioned Barmore's name, which to me sounds ominous. Who knows with Keon White how safe that guy is with some of the things he's said over the last couple of years, but I don't hate the talent on the D-line. I don't feel like they need a bunch of signings on the D-line sitting here right now.
No, it's very strange, though, because I feel like the names on paper didn't exactly lead to the performance on the field.
Well, that's fair.
Like, they got run on all the time. They didn't have a consistent pass rush. But then, like, individually, I'm with you. I'm like, White, Barmore, Godchild, like, those are good players. But then it's like, I don't know. It didn't seem to work. So if anybody's going to have a good say, it'd be Vrabel and the new D coordinator, Terrell Williams, who's a D-line expert. So if you see those guys getting out of town, I would think his fingerprints would be on that too.
Okay, fair. We'll have more 30-second plans if you got them, 617-779-7937. You can also continue to vote at Jones and Keefe. Our first two of four 116 matchups. Our football region, we have the Bengals, the 16 seed, going against our number one seed, the Chargers, Powder Blues. We also have our baseball region, the Expos, going against the Blue Jays. You can vote at Jones and Keefe. Those are both available. We'll get you our basketball and hockey regions before the show is out. Full bracket will be up shortly at Jones and Keefe, so keep an eye out there. Continue to vote there. Already healthy voting totals going on at Jones and Keefe. We have a Kiefer Madness on the way at 12:45. More Patriots thoughts, including clarity at number four in the draft.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots should be jumping for joy if Travis Hunter is there for them with the 4th overall pick. I mean, this guy is rare. I can't say enough great things about him. We're talking about somebody that played over 115 snaps a game on both sides of the ball. Not only that, but he had a lasting impact on both sides of the ball, in tune with 2 game plans every single week. He reminds me a lot of Champ Bailey when he was coming out of Georgia in the late 90s. You can compare him to Chris Gamble and some of these other guys that have played both ways, but as far as a lasting impact, he's been able to do that, and this is a very rare player. I would play him at cornerback first if it was up to me full-time, and then I would sprinkle him in at wide receiver. And we know Drake May definitely needs a go-to option at wide receiver, so he could be that. But also, you pair him with Christian Gonzalez, you have a dynamic duo at cornerback for the future.
Jordan Reed, who put out his mock draft yesterday, ESPN, saying the Patriots should sprint to the podium, take Travis Hunter if he falls to 4 like he did in Reed's latest mock. He would be a corner first, but you could sprinkle him in at wide receiver, a dynamic duo with Christian Gonzalez at cornerback for the Patriots. Now, Keith, refresh my memory on your plan. I know you had them signing Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp. Adams already been released. I think Kupp is about to be released, certainly by the time legal tampering gets going on Monday. So I know your receiver room. Did you have a corner or not? I can't remember. Did you have anybody in the secondary they were signing?
Asante Samuel Jr.
Oh, yes. Right. So
Asante Sr. and Robert Kraft can have a handshake.
Throw that right in Bill's face. So I had them signing DJ Reed on defense. I had them trading for Metcalf and extending Metcalf. I also had them bringing in Cooper Kupp. So certainly more high dollars in my plan than yours, which probably makes your plan admittedly more realistic. Based on your plan, is Travis Hunter still the pick at 4? If they checked all those boxes and they brought in 2 veteran wide receivers and they signed a veteran cornerback, is Travis Hunter still the guy at 4, or would that change your mind on how you approach things in the draft?
No, I think, like, the Tennessee Titans GM was talking about, they want a generational talent. I think he's a generational talent, and I think if you get all those guys that I was talking about, that's great. But, like, Kupp and Adams are more short-term wide receiver fixes. Travis Hunter could be a long-term grow with Drake May. And there's not as much pressure on him right off the rip. He could be, I mean, in that scenario, what a dream scenario. He'd be like your 3rd receiver. He literally wouldn't have to play 60 offensive plays. You could put him in and out whenever you felt like it. He could focus a little bit more on defense, where he'd be your number 2 corner. So, no, I think he's too good of a prospect to pass up. So if you add a bunch of other players at the same position, great. But if not, yeah, it becomes a little bit more of a necessity.
So I'm with you. Almost no matter what they do in free agency, I'm not passing on Abdul Carter or Hunter if they're there at 4. Now, it might change my plan and the way I maneuver if those 2 guys are gone, meaning Carter and Hunter, and the Patriots are on the clock and they make all these signings. It might impact my thinking in a different way there. Like, for instance, I didn't have a right tackle. I didn't have them filling out right tackle. Would I be more open to drafting Membu if they already signed Ronnie Stanley as a left tackle in free agency? I might. Now you have bookend tackles for a long time. If they don't sign Ronnie Stanley, I'm not reaching to draft Membu at 4 or trading down to draft him where he's a right tackle. And now, did you take a right tackle in the top 10? Or are you moving a right tackle to left tackle? Like, it may impact my thinking there. But the reason I bring up Travis Hunter on the heels of free agency, and if you missed any of our on-the-clock free agency plans for the Patriots, Jones' 60-second plan, Keith's 60-second plan, still room for you to give your 30-second plans on what you want the Patriots to do at 617-779-7937. But you can view our plans on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. The reason I ask, though, Keith, is the buzz, and it might just be people are lying, people are trying to get Shedeur Sanders to drop or whatever it is, but the buzz right now is Shedeur Sanders is falling. And Shedeur Sanders could drop into the 20s. He could drop out of the first round altogether. He's closer to Jaxson Dart than he is to Cam Ward, who's in the mix to go number one overall to Tennessee, or number one overall if the Giants moved up the board and got the number one pick. There's some buzz to that. So if Shedeur Sanders is falling and only one quarterback's going in the top three, you're not going to have your chance, I don't think, to get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. So I don't know, based on the latest buzz and intel, if you want to read into it, how concerned are you about those guys not being available at four?
So I do think there's always that chance, right, that those two guys are gone before four. But I still maintain that quarterbacks always get overdrafted. And this year is the prime example for that to happen, where all three teams picking one, two, and three desperately need a quarterback. On top of that, teams just behind the Patriots need quarterbacks. So it wouldn't take an arm and a leg to trade up and get those guys if, say, Tennessee or the Giants or Cleveland went in another direction. The quarterbacks aren't great. Like, the prospects, I wouldn't say, are great. Cam Ward, we both agree, will go somewhere in the top three. The other guys, yeah, maybe they shouldn't. Maybe if you're ranking all the prospects 1 through 32, they'd be lower on that list. But that's not how it works. The quarterbacks always get overvalued. Guys can go from being a fringe first-round pick a month before the draft to number one overall. And guys fall in love with players. Like, J.J. McCarthy last year, the talk about McCarthy, there was even rumors like the Patriots might like him at three.
Right.
And we're like, what in God's green earth?
And that to me underscores some of the, that was trying to get May to drop, right? And so maybe some of that's going on with Shedeur as well. But I understand your point. Quarterbacks rise. Anthony Richardson came out of nowhere where you weren't even sure he was a first round pick. Then you thought he might go in the 20s. He was the fourth overall pick. So that does happen all the time. Maybe you said this earlier, and I'll repeat it, but like, it's more likely quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 than only one in the top three. And so that's how you feel about it. Quarterbacks do tend to rise. I'm nervous some of this Shedeur stuff is real. And part of why I'm nervous about it, even if it is people trying to get him to drop, I wonder if Deion would be okay with Shedeur dropping out of the top three. Like, Deion said he wants to control where he goes. Deion might even be orchestrating some of this.
So even if he falls out, I still think, and not that I like Jalen Milroe a lot or Jaxson Dart a whole lot, I think between now and then there's an opportunity for a guy like that to just, they strap a rocket to and he moves up the draft board. Because as a Patriots fan, we don't care which two quarterbacks get taken.
No, correct.
As long as there are two quarterbacks
right.
taken.
No, the reason we talk about Shedeur and Cam Ward is because we think they're the most likely to, but you're right, if
somebody switches with Sanders, great. I don't care.
If it goes Ward, Jaxson Dart, or as you said, Ward, Jalen Milroe, well then fine. It's still two quarterbacks going before the Pats. That's all that matters.
And so I've been consistent now in my feeling on if Carter and Hunter are both off the board, I am almost adamant about trading the pick for either, you know, Myles Garrett, a pick swap for DK Metcalf, or just down a few spots to get more draft capital. You could still maybe get a left tackle, a starting worthy left tackle there. I don't think there's another player, though, that I would feel comfortable taking at four besides Carter or Hunter.
Yeah, so you just said you'd trade down and maybe try to take a tackle. Who would you be trading down to take? You still taking Campbell?
Yeah, I like Campbell a lot more than you do. I like Campbell. Who is the kid that Shyam had going from Missouri that he had pretty high?
That's Membo.
So, yeah, if I'll take his word for it, like somebody that they think could start week one at left tackle.
Well, okay, but he hasn't played left tackle, but Lance Zierlein, who is does the mock drafts for NFL.com, and I would say is specifically like an offensive line guy. He had Membo going fourth overall to the Patriots, so that very well could happen. Maybe you drop down and take him. I've advocated if you're dropping down, I like Tyler Warren. I like Ashton Jeanty. Text line is asking if Hunter and Carter are both available. Like, let's say they are. Let's just play the game. If they're both available, who do you prefer out of those two? Would you take Hunter over Carter?
I do prefer Hunter. Now, I wonder if this also plays into what else did you do? Did you swing and miss on DK Metcalf? Did you swing and miss on any kind of pass rush? Like, do you have anything at any of those positions? But I as an overall prospect, I still like Hunter more. But it's one of those things where if I would still take Carter at four, but yeah, if I had to choose between the two, it's still Travis Hunter.
So I'm the other way. I would go Carter, but you make a good point. Like, if you sign Josh Sweat in his one leg in free agency or whatever it is, like, that might be enough to swing it back. But yeah, sitting here today, Abdul Carter, I would have slightly ahead of Hunter, but I'd be happy with either one at four. I am nervous about Shadur dropping down, but Keith, you make a good point. Titans need a quarterback at one. All this bluster, they're not going to pass on a generational guy, but they need a quarterback at one. The Browns need a quarterback at two. The Giants need a quarterback at three. And, like, free agency could alter this. Maybe they sign Darnold. Maybe they sign Rodgers, meaning New York, and you go from there. But you also make the point there are teams in striking distance. The Raiders need a quarterback at six. They could leapfrog the Patriots to take a quarterback. Not that the Patriots are waiting to take one, but they could move up to that territory to take a quarterback. The Jets at seven need a QB. The Saints at nine need a quarterback. So there's three teams behind the Patriots that all could conceivably move up to take a QB, whether it's Ward, whether it's Shadur or whomever. So that's something you should be rooting for, and that's pretty reasonable. I hadn't really considered that aspect of it.
Yeah, I think what we need is the Giants to miss on all these veteran quarterbacks. You know, there's been talk about Aaron Rodgers, which sounds crazy. There was talk that they were interested in Matthew Stafford until he stayed with the Rams. So if they keep missing on veterans and they go into the draft without one, then I feel like they're definitely taking one. I also wonder if the Browns end up trading Myles Garrett to somebody, would they be more likely just to take Abdul Carter? And then Cam Ward to the Titans, you know, probably should just be what it is. And then there you go. Carter's off the board. Two quarterbacks are off the board. And then the Pats are sitting there with the choice of Hunter or whatever else they want.
That's how you get Travis Hunter to fall.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Perhaps some clarity at four. If Shadur is dropping, that would, I think, get you out of the mix for Travis Hunter or possibly Abdul Carter as well. That's something you should be rooting against as a Patriots fan. You can jump in here with all your phone calls. We'll circle back. Some Red Sox thoughts, Bruins, Celtics on the table as well. Plus, it's a Thursday. We have an emergency madness, Kiefer Madness, next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness!
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
And when you eat it, it, after a short spell, it acts like Viagra.
Souvenir of the honeycomb from the colony that almost killed my husband.
I met a similar species on assignment in Sri Lanka. Regina.
All right, here we go. Time for Kiefer Madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. That was a good medley of some previous Madni. From I think earlier this year, those were somewhat recent.
Yeah, those are all 2025ers, I think.
Jones, we go out to the great state of Oregon. I've never been to Oregon. Never been out there.
Ah, my wife went to U of O. I've spent some time Portland, the surrounding nice area as well, Lake Oswego, things like that. Yeah,
you're not going to want to go to Oregon after hearing this story, though.
No,
yeah,
Multnomah County now says dysentery is on the rise.
Oh,
that's right, on the rise. Stock up, dysentery.
That's going to be a high tier. Maybe I don't want to say goat tier, but it's moving up. It's moving up is what it's doing.
I don't know if you've ever been plagued by dysentery. It sounds awful.
Not real life me.
No. Oh, in the games. Sure. Well, yeah.
Maybe video game me.
Well, they'll tell you a little bit about it. They'll tell you about some of the issues here. Go ahead.
Multnomah County now says dysentery is on the rise. 2024 saw over 150 cases reported by people that had not been anywhere international. That's way over the 96 cases from the year before. That bacterial disease can cause cramps, vomiting, diarrhea, and a high fever. It is highly contagious. The best way to avoid it, wash your hands. In the winter, when public restrooms are often closed, it can also be a big problem for Oregon's homeless population.
Ah. Okay. So, highly contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Wash your hands. Keep those mitts clean, and you got a chance of maybe avoiding this thing. But diarrhea, fever, cramps, stomach pain. It says you could have the runs for several days.
Oh, boy. See, but, I hate all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also says you can have this for four or more weeks.
What?
That could be a month of your life, a month of the year. Bang, dysentery.
What?
Not good.
No, yeah. It's not good at all.
No.
No wonder it was wiping people out left and right on the trail. So,
well, it's funny that we bring this up because we've also – two of the things that I remember specifically from Oregon Trail, outside of just shooting too many buffalo and having way too much meat that breaks the axles and I can't keep going.
I was
going
to say a broken axle.
Broken axle.
Fording a river, is that on your list?
Fording a river was very popular. No, but there was two things that could really get you.
Afflictions.
Two afflictions, whether it's to you or a buddy of yours that you typed in their name.
Dysentery for sure.
Dysentery. Snake bite.
Oh, yeah, that's a rough
bite.
One.
They're like, oh, Jeff just got bit by a snake. And Jeff's like, come on. You're like, listen, I got no control over this.
Now, off the question yesterday, would you rather have dysentery or get bitten by a snake?
Oh, so, wow, great question.
Nick, this is the hard-hitting stuff right here. I think,
wouldn't you rather have, you'd rather have dysentery.
I don't know. I've had a month of it. Wait, let me follow up. Do I see the snake bite me or I just, like, feel the snake bite me? This is pretty significant.
Let's say you can't see it, just so you can answer
you feel
the question.
It.
All right. If I just feel it, like, ow, ah, that got me.
Yeah.
If it's you just one of those, ah, that got
you
me.
You can't see it, but you can hear it.
Yeah, you don't even know what. Oh, you can hear it.
Oh. Well, maybe the dysentery. Maybe the dysentery, I think. I don't know.
You'd rather deal with a month of the hot poops and, you know, a headache than you would one little snake bite.
I also love the news story where the guy is like, all these people that had it, none of them traveled internationally. So we can't blame it on any other country. We want to. We would love to blame it on another country. So this is Jones's theory. Inside job.
Inside job. Nice.
The people of Oregon, they started this. Now they're spreading it around.
What like about people that had not been anywhere international?
Yeah, he wanted to blame them.
We don't need to pile on. Like they're Charlie Kelly never leaving Philly. Like we don't need to pile on. These people have never been anywhere.
These
they're
Oregonians.
Just, no. I, well,
you, trees in Oregon.
Say
there's
again?
Trees.
There's trees.
Oh, there's trees for sure. Oh, yeah.
There's trees.
But, you know, it's a bit of a, it's an interesting city. I haven't been to Portland in a few years, but the last time I went, it was struggling a bit as a city, as some of these West Coast cities are. San Francisco, Portland. So as the reporter said there, you know, it's not great for the unhoused community there in the winter. It's just strictly about washing. You wash your hands and we get rid of dysentery.
Too easy.
You think
I feel
so?
Like something like this. Yeah.
So they just were very just peeing all over their hands on the Oregon Trail. Is that what was going on? I guess I didn't realize that. There were streams everywhere. They weren't washing their hands on the trail.
No, they weren't. Huh. They were just ripe with the stuff. It says fewer than 200,000 cases in the U.S. per year.
Okay. That's a low number? I mean, I guess we have 300 million, 300 plus million? I guess that's a low number. Still sounds like a lot of people not washing their hands.
According to the internet, it is treatable by a medical professional. It does require a medical diagnosis. Lab tests or imaging are often required. It spreads through contaminated food or water.
Yeah, I thought, am I confusing dysentery with like, I thought you got like if you drank right out of a stream and or like out of a pond and the water was, I thought that was dysentery. What am I confusing that with?
No, maybe you're right, but I think once one person gets it through the bad food
and
water,
yeah, now we're talking.
Then you give it to all your buds. Everybody in the tent is getting dysentery. That'd be my guess. But yeah, not good. We've had a lot of real issues here between the snakes and the bananas.
Yeah.
And the spiders and the grapes. It's a mess. That dysentery just running through the state of Oregon.
Well, and again, it's just what's up with that state and dysentery? That's what I want to know. Between the video game and everything, they were very ahead of the curve. I mean, that game knew what they were doing. Like it was very much out in front. But I would say
was
particularly
it too real.
Yeah, maybe.
Multnomah County real? Now says dysentery is on the rise.
If you were
good
going
Lord.
To, oh yeah. See, I was about to say this, and then I'm like, I might be getting it confused. Cholera was big on the Oregon Trail. Text line said as well. Cholera.
People are going crazy with cholera.
I thought cholera might have been like a medieval thing, but that maybe it made a comeback there on the trail. If you had to, not to put you on the spot for tears, Keith, maybe this is good for next week, but would Oregon Trail be a GOAT video game, computer game?
Oh, 100%.
Like Oregon Trail, Doom.
Let's go!
Doom, Oregon Trail. Remember Number Munchers and Word Munchers?
Can I look that up?
You don't remember Number Munchers and or Word Munchers?
On a work computer, I'm not sure I can say I do. No.
There was a game that it was like basically like a grid. It was either 3x3 or 4x4.
Uh-huh.
And there
go on. Yeah.
So there I am, middle of the night playing Word Munchers.
4x4 munching away, yeah. Go.
And it'd be like it would say on the top, it would say like US presidents.
Uh-huh.
And then each box had like a different name in it. but they'd throw you. They'd be like, yeah, Ronald Reagan. That's when you want to go in there and you want to munch. And then there'd be other ones that would be like, you know, Benjamin Franklin, who as a kid you're like, sounds like a president.
Right.
Not a president.
Not a president.
So you don't want to eat that. And then they would have somebody that come in and chase you, almost like a Pac-Man scenario. And then the number munchers was basically just like learning math. It'd be like multiples of five, and then you're out there hammering away. Okay. It was one of the early computer games that I remember playing.
Okay, I don't recall
they
that.
They were great.
So that would be goat tier as well.
You're going to get a million texts coming in being like, oh, I remember number munchers and or word munchers.
All right, I'm going to tell you right now, so far, and there's a delay, but so far there are zero of these.
That's a delay.
But okay, do you
that
remember
the delay.
Number and or word munchers? I'd have Ski Free on there. I like Ski Free.
Which was Ski Free?
Ski Free was like you're bombing down the mountain. And you're just, yeah, you're going off jumps.
Yeah.
You're kind of, you know, doing tricks and things like this. Maybe you scoop past somebody, their jacket comes flying off. And then next thing you know, you're like halfway down the mountain, the abominable monster comes out of nowhere and eats you. A Yeti.
Okay.
A Sam Squanch, I think is what that thing was. Was it a bear or was poor artwork? Whatever it was. You don't remember Ski Free?
I don't. I'm too busy playing number munchers.
You were educating yourself. I was just too busy trying to figure out how to get past the Sam Squanch slash Yeti slash bear, whatever it was.
I didn't have time for that. Yeah, but what a leap, too, for a kid to go from one day playing Oregon Trail to one day playing Doom.
Yeah, that's a jump.
You're like, wow, like you could do a lot of stuff here. That's a lot of blood. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was IDKFA the code to get all weapons?
Oh, I don't remember. Do you know? You guys know that?
I think it was IDKFA.
Nick or Billy, they're both giving you the shrug back there.
Come on, guys.
I got my Doom cheats.
I'm checking the text line. I see
plenty of cheats, but not that one. Tyson, got it.
Oh, yeah,
code,
that's true.
Got it.
Yeah.
30 guy code, got it.
Contra. Yeah, Contra is a classic.
I see one. Oh, wait. Hang on. They're coming in.
Here they come.
I remember number munchers and or word munchers! Exclamation point.
There it is.
Number
Thank
munchers.
You.
Number munchers. This might be the same person who texted in about Najee Harris. Number munchers sucks.
But you've heard of it, sir or ma'am.
Then I also got a never heard of it.
Damn it.
Ooh, somebody said, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one.
Sim City, good one.
Sim City was great.
Snood.
Snood. Snood. Yeah. Snood's addictive.
I know. I know how Keith reacts to that. That was Keith saying, I don't really like Snood very much. He was just being nice.
I didn't mind Snood. I played Snood later in life.
Yeah.
He did remember the cheat code for Doom, though. IDKFA was all weapons, ammo, and keys.
Okay, well, look, kids.
I'm the man.
Kids out there, Terp, if you're down the hall listening. If you don't know the video game, The Oregon Trail, and you want to play it in real life, just go to Portland.
Kids now might not know cheat codes.
Yeah, well, just go to Portland. You can get dysentery on your own, just like we used to on The Oregon Trail at our Dell desktops. So if you want to play along, you can. So there's the madness, Kiefer Madness, each and every week, sometimes multiple times per week.
Sure.
On Jones and Keith. We'll get back to the Celtics. It was a big night for Peyton Pritchard. It was a big night for Derek White. Historic night. What does it actually mean for the Celtics? We'll get back into that. And Rob Bradford gave us a real interesting update on the Red Sox opening day lineup. So all that comes your way next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.